From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. It can be difficult to know where to turn after suffering trauma. We meet a dancer who, after surviving a brutal sexual assault, created her own place of community and well-being for herself and others. Tide Courtney Edwards founded Ballet After Dark, where survivors of sexual and domestic assault and those dealing with trauma can participate in therapeutic, movement-based workshops. She says the healing power of ballet drew her back to the studio.
I wanted to feel like a princess again, and I wanted to feel like a woman. I wanted to feel the way that I felt when I go on stage in my tutu. I needed that joy back.
And a participant in Ballet After Dark explains why she values sharing the experience with other women of color. It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Healing after trauma can be a lifelong challenge. Those who experienced physical or emotional abuse might seek counseling, medication, or alternative supports in order to get beyond their pain and heal. Our guest today suffered a brutal assault. She has found solace and healing in something so familiar to her, she feels it down to her bones, and she has come to share it with others. I should warn our listeners, this interview will include disquieting descriptions of sexual assault. Tide Courtney Edwards is the founding director of Ballet After Dark. It offers classes based on ballet and movement and self-care workshops for survivors of sexual and domestic assault and others dealing with trauma. Later in the show, we'll hear from a woman who has found community in attending Ballet After Dark workshops. Edwards, also known as Curvy Ballerina, is here with us. She's a graduate of the Baltimore School for the Arts and a classically trained dancer. With more than 20 years of dance experience, she's trained with the Debbie Allen Dance Company, the Dance Theater of Harlem, Peabody Conservatory, the Joffrey Ballet, and Alvin Ailey. Welcome, Tide Courtney.
Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here.
Tide Courtney, you were attacked in 2012 while you were reaching to get something from the back of your car. What happened that day?
That day, I was leaving work, pulling into my complex. At that time, I was living in a heavily wooded area in Howard County. And I got out of my car, went around to my trunk to collect bags. And the one thing that I always say, that I always remember, is not being aware of my surroundings, almost having this false sense of invincibility. Like I couldn't, nothing would ever bother me. There's no way I would be in a situation where I have to watch out for myself. So I'm getting bags out of my trunk and I never hear him come up behind me and he hits me in the head and drags me into the woods.
Did it knock you out?
Yes. I came to briefly while I was being assaulted in the woods and passed back out. And when I woke up, he was gone. And he took various items from my purse, some cash. He did not take any of my bags or anything like that. He didn't take my vehicle.
What did he do to you?
He raped me. he urinated on me and he left me in the woods. Following that, when I came to, I crawled out of the woods and I was able to make it to my door. And once I got to the door, my mother saw my face.
You were living with your mother?
Yes, at that time. I was in the process of moving into an art residency house. And I was getting ready to head to New York to start auditioning for companies all over again. Mm. And this was supposed to be a very positive transition for me. I was just getting myself back into shape to go back into the professional performing world, and this came and just knocked me out of the game.
Well, it was obviously a horrific attack. And then what was the aftermath like? What did you experience?
So about 7 weeks later, I found out I was pregnant.
Oh.
And as a, that was that was a very horrific ordeal because of the amount of shame and embarrassment that I was already dealing with being a survivor. At that time, I didn't look at myself or feel as though I was a survivor. I was a victim then. And it just put me in a really, really dark place. I had an abortion at Planned Parenthood, and I will always be eternally grateful for the women there. I was too embarrassed to reach out to family. By this time, I was so traumatized by the events that had occurred. I had lost my job. I had already started retreating. There would be moments where I'd look in the mirror and I could not even recognize who I was. I lost all interest within myself. And I lost the ability to recognize who I was and to recognize what love for myself was. It was very, very rough. And it was very, very lonely. I stopped talking to family. I stopped talking to friends. At the time, I was still living with my mother, but you would never have known because there was no interaction. I could not communicate with people. I really, really, really had to reach deep down within myself. And when it came to starting my healing journey, I was inspired by watching an episode of Sex and the City one day. And one of the characters had suffered a series of miscarriages, and she was severely depressed. And I remember watching her watch herself in the mirror and understanding what she had felt and understanding that because she wasn't able to have a baby, that that meant that she wasn't fully a woman. In my case, when you were violated in such a drastic way, there's this shame that surrounds you that makes you almost consider yourself to be broken or less than or used up, dirty. And I could recognize that within her character. So I watched this woman blossom on television, and it inspired me to start to take the very, very small steps to getting my life back.
That's classically trained dancer Tide Courtney Edwards here on the record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. She founded Ballet After Dark, workshops based on ballet and movement for survivors of sexual and domestic assault and others dealing with trauma. During this dark period, did your family and friends reach out to you?
No. I was withdrawing in such a way that I was making it impossible for people to communicate with me. Initially, following the attack, I did not have support from family. One thing I came to realize, especially within the African American community, is that there's a lot of mistreatment that we're expected to receive and to gracefully move through. It's almost like a rite of passage for us to be assaulted, molested, or something along those lines. And we're just supposed to brush it off our shoulders and just be strong and just move forward and deal with it. And I remember there being a moment where I had shared the incident with older women in my family, and their response to me was, well, that happened to me. Oh, I was... You know, my uncle touched me when I was younger. So the expectation was already there that something like this is probably going to occur. But then again, it's also expected for me to just get over it because they got over it and they were able to still continue to move forward and go to work the next day.
When did you think that getting back to ballet was part of what you needed to do?
It's always been my first love. And I remember brainstorming different things, different activities that I could do that would allow for me to develop comfortability with interacting with people again. But also, I really didn't want to interact with people quite yet. But I knew that it was important for me to get to a place where I could allow for people to be in my personal space. Also, I needed something that was going to help me reconnect with my femininity and my sensuality, and just something that was going to empower me as a woman. And ballet is made of all of these elements of grace and regalia and flexibility and just being poised. And I wanted to feel like a princess again, and I wanted to feel like a woman. I wanted to feel the way that I felt when I go on stage in my tutu. I needed that joy back. And it was a no-brainer for me to get in the studio, go to a dance class. It was reinvigorating this light that was out, that had burnt out within me. And I could feel the joy of me having something to look forward to coming back again. Also, I wanted to feel lovely. I wanted to feel like a worthy woman. And there are movements and technique that you learn in ballet that can really, really, really uplift your spirits and empower you. And although it's a very classical discipline, there are things that you learn throughout the technique that can really, really boost your sensuality and can really help you to reconnect with your womanhood. And when I would work on my posture, I would feel myself regaining confidence again, just knowing that I'm going from shoulders slumped over, hunched over back, to just sitting up straight. And then even if that's not what my actual thought is, I'm able to project confidence out just from me sitting up straight. And there were little elements like that that I was being reminded of in ballet that were really helping me to get back to who I was again, making me feel like I could be a strong woman all over again, making me feel like I could be someone who was worthy of love. Also, ballet is built upon these close contact teaching methods where you have to trust your instructor because they're going to touch you. They have to, in order to help you enforce and implement corrections. If I wanted to make sure that my turnout was great, or to make sure that my alignment was good, or if I was doing anything properly at the bar, I needed to be comfortable with letting my instructor into my personal space. And that was one of the biggest things that I utilized class for, too. If I can let my dance teacher come in, shape my body comfortably without me feeling like I'm about to fly into a fit of panic because someone's in my space, I'm going to be able to shake someone's hand. I'm going to be able to give someone a hug. I'm going to be able to kiss somebody again.
So when did you start Ballet After Dark?
I started Ballet After Dark in 2015. And traditional therapy was great. Having someone to talk to about emotions that I was experiencing following the attack was wonderful. It was great. But there was nowhere for me to go to reconnect with my body, and to reconnect with faith that I had lost. And I was looking for a space that would be able to focus on multiple elements of healing. But I want to feel strong again. I want to be a part of a network of survivors who don't mind talking about emotions experienced following whatever our traumas are. I want to be able to be in a space where we can explore or reconnect with spirituality and faith, because that's something else that I struggled with following the attack. But I started it in 2015, and in 2016 is when I really started to get an idea of what I was doing. And it's been a labor of love ever since.
I want to hear more about what a workshop is, how it works, who attends, and hear from someone who has been part of one. We need to take a quick break. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. Tide Courtney Edwards is founder of Ballet After Dark, workshops based on ballet and movement for survivors of sexual and domestic assault and others dealing with trauma. She's staying with us during this short break, and we'll also talk to a workshop participant when we're back. I'm Sheila Cass. This is On the Record. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking with Tide Courtney Edwards, founding director of Ballet After Dark. She offers workshops based on ballet and movement for survivors of sexual and domestic assault and others dealing with trauma. And also joining us is a workshop participant, Laquita Chansey. Chansey is founder of Smaltimore Homes, a nonprofit that works to end homelessness in Baltimore by developing micro-housing communities. Welcome back to On the Record, Laquita.
Thank you so much, Sheila.
Laquita, how did you learn about Ballet After Dark?
I was introduced through Tide professionally, and she participated in one of our girls' conference and did trap ballet. And I was very inspired by what she was teaching our young girls. They were 9th through 12th, raising 12th graders. It's a summer conference that we have with my Spelman Alumni Association. And I just thought it was amazing. And I was like, oh my God, I have to talk to this woman. When is the next workshop? And since then, we've formed a friendship. But every time there's a workshop, if I'm in town, I'm there. I really do appreciate all that she does for our community.
Tide Courtney, walk me through a workshop. What do participants experience?
Okay, so we focus on three elements of self-care: physical, mental, and spiritual self-care. So we begin the workshop with beginner's ballet fundamentals that segue into fitness fundamentals that focus on strengthening the body, making sure that you have enough upper body strength in the event that you are attacked, you can push your attacker away and get away. We also focus on a lot of gentle cardio that is really good for building stamina. And from there, we segue into our sharing portion, which is our mental health aspect. In that particular portion, we pull out our roadmaps and our tools, our self-care strategies that we would come to rely on in the event that we're having a bad day. These are tools that help us discover what self-care is. They also help us to stay on a path outside of the workshop that will allow for us to continue our journey of healing. The last part of the workshop is the spiritual aspect, which is meditation for us. We use that as a cool down to close out the workshop. And it's an exclusive recorded track for Ballet After Dark that walks you through the chakra system, which is the belief that there are swirling pools of energy throughout the body, which align properly, promote good health and happiness, prosperity, joy, and all of these different things. And then from there, we all get up, hug each other, exchange numbers, become best friends. And it's a really great experience. And we are offering free workshops for the, well, we're always free, but we've partnered with Athleta for the month of May to offer sponsored workshops at most of their locations. So anyone can go visit our website and see where the next Athleta sponsored workshop will be. And that's free as well.
Is it a one-off or do people sign up for a series of workshops?
It's usually a one-off workshop. And that is because I did not want anyone to feel obligated to have to continue to return over and over and over again in order for them to feel like they were going to heal. I was very much committed to the idea of providing them with tools and resources that they could take with them so that they continue their own journeys.
Laquita, I gather you do seek out workshops one after another.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think since I've met Tide, I've been to 4 to 6 or so. As often as I can attend, I do attend.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with founding director of Ballet After Dark, Tide Courtney Edwards, and Laquita Chansey, a workshop participant. So summarize for me then, how has Ballet After Dark changed since you started it?
I needed to reformat because what I was noticing during the discussion portions, some of the dialogue created would solely focus on the trauma that brought you here. And other people's trauma can trigger other people's trauma. And that was something that I was discovering, is that I would invite women to come to this workshop. We would do this great physical movement that would make you feel empowered and really great about yourself, and you'll feel strong and, you know, you'll feel regal. And then we sit down and then we start to talk about why you've come, and I have basically ripped a Band-Aid off of you. I've made you reveal your deepest, darkest self, and then I'm sending you out the door. So I needed to restructure to make sure that conversations had focused on what we do following our trauma. It focuses on how we heal after our trauma.
Laquita, tell me what you've experienced in workshops.
In my case, I like the community of it. And I love that she openly talks about therapy and, you know, healing. And as someone who's been in and out of therapy all of my life, I found community in it. And I also noticed that my therapist bill kind of went down because I found, you know, these workshops to be helpful. I personally haven't suffered any trauma to the extent of Tide. But, you know, I've been in relationships where I probably should have ended the relationship sooner or, you know, had that negative self-speak. In, you know, experience with the workshop, I've learned to tone it down. I'm still a work in progress, but that's something that I can openly express in these workshops. While, you know, in our community, most Black people don't believe in therapy or paying somebody to, you know, sit on their couch and talk to them. So I love that it's an open, safe space to discuss those types of things.
Tide Courtney, you're dedicated to sharing these workshops with women of color. Why is that important?
I specifically feel as though healing within our community is something that is so taboo, and it is almost laughed at in our community because we're supposed to be strong. Why heal through something where you can just power through it? I want Ballet After Dark to bridge the gap between trauma that we experience and the safe spaces that we have to heal that trauma. It's also during my research when I was developing Ballet After Dark, it was very, very apparent and very shocking to me that there weren't many spaces that catered to our community specifically. And if there were, you had to be a very particular type of member of the community.
Explain that.
Coming from a very conservative background or being a certain way on paper, having a certain education level, being able to afford certain types of services. There was no space for women who can't afford therapy to go. There was no space for women who can't afford a $25 ticket to a workshop that's supposed to help me get my life back together. There was no space for women who are transitioning out of prison who need somewhere to go to heal. There was no space for women transitioning out of halfway homes. Where do people with little to no income go? Where do my people with little to no income go to heal?
I appreciate you both talking to us about this. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tide Courtney Edwards is founding director of Ballet After Dark, which offers movement classes based on ballet and workshops for survivors of assault. She recently won the finalist prize at the Awesome Be More Live Grant Pitch event. Laquita Chansey, founder of Smaltimore Homes, is a workshop participant. We've got more information about Ballet After Dark at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.